Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Dark Horses podcast here on the Stampede Blue Podcast Network. I'm your host, Chris Blystone, and we're going to be digging into the back stretch of this Colts season in our very first episode, talking matchups to watch in the Colts' upcoming game against Jacksonville and looking at some potential playoff possibilities for the Colts. So right off the bat here, let's jump into some of our matchups to watch. This Jacksonville game is going to be very interesting. It's just like all these other games when you've got yourself in a hole, as the Colts did early in the season. There's very little room for error. And because of that, even though this team that we're going to be facing in Jacksonville is probably the most disheveled of any team in the NFL right at this moment, it's still a game we have to take seriously. They fired Nathaniel Hackett, their offensive coordinator, this week. They also benched Blake Bortles. So, I mean, that's a little mind-boggling to me. Bortles has been terrible all season long, but he somehow always does really well against the Colts. So, actually, this might be in the Colts' favor, because for some reason we seem to have a problem defending against Blake Bortles. We maybe won't have to face the same kind of competition with Cody Kessler as the starting quarterback this week. But regardless, there's some good matchups to watch here, some things that we definitely need to be aware of as Colts fans heading into this game. And let's start off on the defensive side of the ball. Jalen Ramsey and Andrew Luck, Jalen v. Andrew 2.0. So that was the big matchup, obviously. Jalen Ramsey had the comments in the offseason, kind of taking shots at a lot of different quarterbacks in the NFL. Got under some people's skin, undoubtedly, whether people would say it or not, created some bulletin board material. Didn't do well last week against Buffalo. Josh Allen was on the receiving end of some of that criticism as well, and he clearly made his feelings known in the game as far as that was concerned. And, you know, Andrew obviously kind of had his way with Jalen Ramsey. Big touchdown, 53-yard touchdown to Eric Ebron. Doug Marrone said in their post-game press conference, or maybe it was the next day, talked about that was a blown assignment by Ramsey. So and then T.Y. had a wide open look down the left side of the field as well later in the game, and Ramsey was in coverage on that one too. Now, I don't know whether that was effort. I don't know whether that was being out-schemed or outplayed or what it was. Jalen Ramsey's a very good player. His mouth probably is doing a little bit more work than himself a lot of the time this season anyway, and he clearly got pretty high-minded about his ability. If he shows up to play, he's a tough competitor. He's a hard cornerback to throw against, and I still don't anticipate the Colts are going to go right at him with any kind of real regularity. But, you know, here's the thing. This team is a mess, and we don't really know what to expect. They have a lot of talent, but whether that talent shows up to play is a different thing entirely. So it's going to be really a really interesting matchup to watch. Jack Doyle's not going to be a part of this game. His season is done, and so, you know, Doyle wasn't really matched up against Ramsey, probably wouldn't be most of the time, so that probably doesn't have a huge impact on that matchup. But T.Y. has really been heating up lately, and Eric Ebron's been, you know, rolling all season long, so it'll be interesting to see how those two, Andrew squaring off against Jalen, will come out. I expect it'll probably be much like it was the last time. They'll take some shots here and there, but they're going to go all over the place. They're not going to focus on any one particular matchup unless they just have something. They just continue to get the right looks. So the next matchup for me that I'm going to be focused on is another defense on the Jacksonville side versus the Colts offense, and that is Miles Jack versus the Colts running backs. So as of right now, Marlon Mack is in concussion protocol. So expect Frank Reich to play that pretty close to the vest. He just doesn't like to give out information earlier than he has to. I imagine we won't know until the last minute, even if they know earlier, whether or not Mac is going to get to play. But Miles Jack was one of the defenders last time the Colts played the Jaguars that really stood out as just a guy who was all over the field, made a ton of different plays, and you saw him in on everything. Even that end around that Ebron ran into the end zone, Jack was the only guy who recognized what was happening and attempted to react and deal with it while everybody else kind of bought on the fake. He's a really good player. He is probably, you know, the kind of quality player that we've got in Darius Leonard that just, you know, is a big time difference maker on the defensive side of the ball for Jacksonville. So watching how he performs against our running backs and hopefully putting our running backs in a position to win that matchup will be a big part of the game. I don't think we have to run the ball a ton to win. I hope that they're not going to worry too much about, you know, the idea of staying really balanced there, but this is one of those things where being able to close out a game, it matters when we can run the ball. If you looked in the times that we can effectively run for 5 to 7 yards on a down, and especially on an early down, first or second down, and be able to pick up big yards, that kind of momentum, or even getting a first down right away on a run, that kind of momentum really makes a difference for the offense. It gets them in a rhythm. When they're doing that effectively, you notice a difference. When Marlon Mack really kind of picked it up in last week's fourth quarter, you know, he's really, you know, picking up a couple of those big gains. That re-energizes the offense, and it really did spur a difference and enable us to kind of close out that game. So in a match that was close, I don't anticipate necessarily that this game against Jacksonville is going to be as close as the first one, but in a game that was close, that matters, being able to kind of control the ball. So that's a matchup that'll be really interesting to watch. Now, we talked a little bit about him already, but Cody Kessler going up against the Colts defensive backs is going to be interesting. If you read Chris Shepard's scouting reports, and you definitely should if you hadn't over at Stampede Blue, he kind of gives you a little bit of a look at Kessler. The sample size is small. He hasn't had a lot of playing time. But the thing about him is he's a check down king. He's going for the short pass. He's not throwing long pass, anything long, really. He's going for the 3 to 5 yard pass. He's not going to really stretch the field vertically. And so that probably is a good thing for the Colts. But the problem that they struggled with last time with Bortles and with the Jaguars in general was that they got yards after the catch. So we've got to show up. The biggest discrepancy with our defensive backs and really with our defense as a whole is sometimes they're very impressive when they swarm to the ball and tackle. They gang tackle really well. They swarm to the ball. They don't allow extra yards. And sometimes they do other stuff. Like sometimes they just seems like they don't remember the basic technique of things. They do these lazy arm tackles and they take bad angles and they don't, you know, swarm to the ball. So if they have one of those kind of loafing games, and I don't know that they will, because again, last week I think was a little bit of a wake-up call. They maybe got a little bit high-minded about how good they were playing, and it was an opportunity for the team as a whole to have kind of a gut check moment. And I hope that that's what happened and that they come into this game intense and on fire. If that happens, I think that they can really do a lot to limit this offense. And if they're able to really clamp down on some of those short routes, they may force the Jags to throw the ball a little bit farther than Kessler is comfortable throwing it, and that creates some opportunities for turnovers for the Colts. And we've been a really good team at creating turnovers, so be interesting to see how this comes out. I'm going to be interested to see how Quincy Wilson plays. He's actually played pretty well in the past two games. There's been information out there about his relationship with Mike Mitchell and how that's impacted him. Be interested to see how he plays. I think he can do well. Like to see some more improvement from him, and really you see Kenny Moore continue to do well. He had a couple of missed tackles, but for the most part Kenny Moore has played pretty well, and so like to see that improve, continue to you know, be a good thing, and hopefully they'll kind of clamp down on Kessler and really stop him from being too effective on Sunday. So now, possibly the biggest matchup, obviously, if you watched the first game, was Eric Ebron versus just the Jacksonville defense. He seems to be unstoppable, scored 3 touchdowns. He two of them, if I recall, were pretty wide open, and then one was the end around. He just was really difficult to deal with for the Jags. They had no answer for him, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him fall into more of a decoy role, because if you're Jacksonville and one guy scored 3 touchdowns on you, how do you not game plan for that specific guy? So to me, if I'm Frank Reich, I am probably very seriously considering going into that game with a plan to go more toward T.Y. Hilton. And maybe that's what they're going to do. Maybe they will continue to go at Ebron. Maybe they just didn't have answers for Ebron, and so it doesn't really matter whether they game plan for him. But it would maybe make sense to, if you're like me and have T.Y. Hilton in one of your fantasy leagues, to start him, because I'm thinking there's a good possibility that T.Y., who's already on a hot streak, is probably going to start lighting it up a little bit more this week, because Ebron is going to definitely draw coverage. He's definitely going to draw attention. And if he doesn't, he's going to score more points. So big matchup there, and I anticipate it will go well for the Colts. This Jaguars defense is very talented, but I'm not sure they're putting a whole lot of effort into it at this point. And if you were them, it'd be really hard to convince them to anyway, because what is their offense going to be able to do? I mean, this offense is pretty bad. And honestly, and I didn't even mention this actually at this point, unless as long as the appeal is upheld, Leonard Fournette is due to be suspended for this game, so he will not even be present for this game. So you've got their best running back out of the game, and their quarterback's gone. I mean, their offensive line is in tatters. You definitely should read the scouting report, like I said, for all that information. But it's not a good football team. And so if you're on the defense, they're not putting a lot of effort into it. They're young guys, and they're maybe got a little bit cocky, and you know it's not going well for them. So going to be an interesting matchup. It's got all the markings of a trap game. Colts need to show it prepared. I don't think that they're going to take it lightly, because they do know how important it is, and also they had that game that was kind of a lousy, ugly win against the Dolphins last week. So I expect them to show up. All right, now I want to take an opportunity to talk about something we probably didn't think, or at least, you know, maybe we hoped, but in our hearts, maybe we didn't really think we'd be able to talk about this year, and that is the playoffs. It's still really early to talk playoffs. I mean, we're not really there yet. There's a lot of football to be played, a lot for the Colts still to do if they're going to make their way into the playoffs, but it is a real possibility now. We're actually able to talk about it as a thing that could really happen, not as just a pipe dream. So let's talk a little bit about where we stand right now. So if the season ended right now, the two wildcard teams in the AFC are the Chargers and the Ravens. And the Ravens and the Colts have the same record. The Ravens actually have a relatively rough schedule down the stretch. They play at the Falcons, at the Chiefs, and at the Chargers. Those are all very good football teams. The Falcons have been not great this year, but they have an offense that can overmatch what the Ravens can do. They've been underwhelming. The Ravens definitely could win that game, but they definitely are going to lose to the Chiefs. If I'm putting money on that, I'm going to pick the Chiefs every time. And the Chargers have looked just much better, much better than what the Ravens are. And I would expect them at home to be able to win that game, even though, as we've heard a few times, the Chargers' home games are not exactly the type of environment that's really, really compelling for a home crowd. Regardless, they're a very good football team, and I kind of expect that at least two of those three matches are probably going to be losses for the Ravens. So if that happens, the Ravens maybe drop out of that contention. You know, the Chargers also don't have an easy schedule. They've got to play at the Steelers, at the Chiefs, and at the Broncos, which, you know, the Broncos have played better over the last couple weeks, and they're a division rival for the Chargers. So there's some possibility that either of those teams could fall back to the pack a little bit as the year goes on and give the Colts a chance to squeak in, but they really still have to take care of their own business. So ultimately, that's the key, and you know they have the opportunity to do it. This is another divisional matchup this weekend, and they'll go on the road to play the Titans, and they got to take care of business against the Texans. If they don't beat the Texans, there's almost no chance of taking the division. And even if they do beat the Texans, they've got to hope that somebody else can do that as well. And after Monday night, the Texans look like they're a pretty good football team. So playoffs are going to be, because of the hole that we put ourselves in, as we talked about at the top of the podcast, they've got themselves a little bit of a, they have to depend a little bit on other people to make some mistakes. If they take care of their own business and win out, that means, I believe, that they would have won a 10-game stretch. That's pretty tough to do. The stat came out, I believe, after Sunday's win, that the last time the Colts went 6 wins straight was back when the Colts started the season at 14-0. So it's been a while since the Colts have strung together this many wins back-to-back, and it's not easy to continue that streak. So it's really going to be... it's going to be difficult. It's possible. The Colts offense is performing in such a way that it's definitely possible. to win that many games. But they're going to have to really continue to play at that same high level that they've played over the past few weeks. And the offensive line is going to continue to need to step up. It looks like Ryan Kelly is, I heard today, he was on a treadmill and he was, you know, getting some work in, trying to keep himself or get himself rehabbed and able to go. If he can't go this week, I think it's probably not the end of the world. I'd say probably let him kind of just sit out if he needs to and bring it back the following week. You would rather have him healthy for the end of the season than you would have him come back too quickly and tweak his knee or be out longer. So as far as, you know, getting into the playoffs, we know it's pretty straightforward. We've got to count on some teams to kind of fall back, and we've got to win out our games. And I do think there's a pretty good possibility of that happening in a wild card kind of role. I actually use the ESPN's playoff simulator. It allows you to simulate the rest of the season based on, like, offensive ranking, defensive ranking, and all that. So I did it based on offensive ranking, and the matchup that it gave, it actually had the Colts winning out, which is pretty impressive. But the matchup that it gave us in the first round, in the divisional round, or the wild card round, I'm sorry, in the wild card round of the playoffs, was at New England. And I have to tell you, I would be very excited for that matchup. And I know that many of you probably would not be excited, because I mean, there's a part of all of us that groans when we think about that, because nobody really wants to go play New England at Foxborough. And the last time that we won in Foxborough was way back in the Peyton Manning era. I believe it was the year we won the Super Bowl. And so it's been a while, and it's been, I think, since 2009 since we beat the Patriots at all. So nobody really wants that matchup, but there's a part of me that so desperately wants to beat them at home before the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era has come and gone, because it almost seems like you don't get that monkey off your back. And Andrew and this era Colts team hasn't been able to do that. And this is not the same Patriots team that we've been beaten down by. I don't think that this game would have been a beatdown if we had had, you know, Anthony Costanzo and T.Y. Hilton, and if we'd had Marlon Mack, and if we had, you know, had half of our defense that ended up leaving that game. So I think we would match up much more effectively against the Patriots. It would be an interesting game. Nobody expected us to go very far, so if we got bounced out of the playoffs in the first round, it wouldn't be the end of the world, but it sure would be awesome if you could beat the Patriots, knock them out in the first round of the playoffs at home. That would be something else. So the real question then is, if this team makes the playoffs, what are they capable of? And one of the things that I terms that I heard on the Around the NFL podcast, Chris Wessling was talking about teams that can kind of get in and just be disruptive. And he called the Colts a berserker because they're a team that nobody really wants to play, especially as they've kind of gotten hot and the defense has the ability to take the ball away and the offense has the ability to put up points fast. We run a lot of plays and we run them quickly, and we get them to a lot of different people. So we're a hard matchup to defend against, because there's no, other than the fact that Eric Ebron is going to score with regularity and nobody seems to know how to stop that, we don't do anything really consistently on offense that makes it easy to game plan against us. So if we were to win out if I look at these playoff rankings based, or playoffs, you know, essentially based on the offensive rankings, if the top offenses finish out the season and in the way that you expect them to, according to this simulation, it's got, you know, Kansas City and Pittsburgh with the first round buys. It's no real surprise there for Kansas City. And we'd be playing at New England in the wild card game. The Chargers would play at Houston. So that's really interesting. Any of those teams, I mean, the Chargers or playing at Houston, I wouldn't feel too uncomfortable or too nervous about either of those teams. I think we could compete with both. There's not really a team other than maybe Kansas City. Kansas City is so talented, it's hard for me to see anybody else getting out of that conference other than Kansas City. But we have an offense we could attempt to keep up. You know, we could play that game, and we do take the ball away. Nobody's really seemed to be able to stop them, and so that's not really a problem for us. We don't stop a whole lot of people who have high powered offenses, but the difference is they score fast. And they play in a similar style to us. They're trying to get takeaways. They don't have a great defense either. There's really not a team. It's crazy to say this, and you know, we've proven we could lose to anyone. But if we played on all the way through the playoffs, there's not a team in the AFC that really makes me think there's no way we could hang with them, at least make it a game. So it's kind of exciting to think what the Colts could do if they could actually get themselves into a position to be in the playoffs. I don't know that there's any real likelihood that they go far if they do make it. It wouldn't surprise me to see them lay an egg. Like I said, they're going to have to win, almost win out. They've got to at least have 10 wins at the end of the season probably to make the playoffs, at least in my mind. I mean, based on this simulation as it is, we're 11-5. The Chargers are also 11-5. So, you know, 10-6 ain't going to cut it. You're probably getting bumped if you have a 10-6 record. So it's going to be a significant undertaking for the Colts to go in and finish out the season that well. But should they make it, they are, I think, very well equipped to compete with this era of football and with the teams that would be in there. So pretty exciting thing to think about. Whether or not it comes to fruition, I guess we'll see over the next few weeks as we kind of take on some of these other opponents. But, you know, kind of comes back to, and what I want to finish with here is the epitome of Frank Reich's mantra here. So at the very beginning of the season, we heard him addressing the team. We heard him kind of talking about all the things that he wants this team to be. And one of the things that he wanted for them more than anything, and he repeated it more than anything, was an obsession to finish. And if you listen to him in game, post game things, talking to the team, any of those things, he talks about that over and over again, wanting the team to have an obsession to finish. And I think he's developed that. This is a team that wins games where before they would, under Pagano, they would lose games that they should win. This team is now winning games that probably it ought to lose, especially, I mean, looking at last week's win. That should have been a loss. We played terribly. But because of this kind of mantra of Reich's, they've finished the game. And I think that's where we are at this point in the season. You're looking at, does this team have an obsession to finish this season? Are they going to be obsessive about it? Are they going to get after it? Are they going to, you know, go out and take what they want? Are they going to finish strong? And how a team finishes definitely matters. I mean, even if this year is not the year that the Colts are really going to make their mark on the league, and I think that none of us expected or really still expect for that to be the case because there are a lot of flaws on this team, there is the real opportunity to finish strong, to build some momentum going into the next year, and to build some confidence and get yourself. I mean, you almost at this stage in the game, if you make the playoffs, it's unexpected. And while the players definitely are hoping for it, it's a boost because they think, man, look what we were able to do, and we aren't a finished product yet. We were just in a first year with a new scheme on offense and defense. We've got all these young players. I think 42% of the starting snaps were first or second year players for the Colts, first in the league in that in terms of guys in their first or second year playing. That's incredible, and what the Colts have accomplished doing that is incredible, and that's got to be encouraging to any Colts fan, any Colts player. I mean, if you can look at that and go, hey, we did this with a higher number of first and second year guys than anybody in the league. We have a new coach at both sides of the ball, and our quarterback just came back from a massive surgery. If you can get through a season like that and make the playoffs, that's really telling you that you found something. And so if you can finish strong, then they're going to go into the next season with a ton of motivation, a ton of confidence, and really ready to kind of bring it. And if Chris Ballard has any kind of an off season like he did this season, then the Colts are going to be a dangerous team to deal with in 2019. So that's really all I had today. And I hope that you'll check out all of our content on Stampede Blue. I'm actually going to have my matchups to watch story posted. It's going to kind of go through these same matchups we've talked about. And if you want to check that out or any other great content over at Stampede Blue, you definitely should. Join into the comments, get involved, engage with us. We enjoy that conversation. There's a pretty dedicated group of people who do engage in the comments, and we always want to hear new voices. And, you know, we appreciate the criticism. I for one, will probably get snarky back with you in the comments section, but I generally mean it in good fun. I don't take any of that criticism too terribly seriously, so hope you'll jump on the site, check us out, check out the other great podcasts, the Colts Cast and Horseshoes with Holder, and let us know if there's anything that you want us to dig into on any of these podcasts or in any stories. We always appreciate the feedback and the direction from the fans. So All right, that's all for us today. First episode of Dark Horse is in the books, and hope you'll tune in again next time.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.